WTIC. We are joined every week by Frank Farriker, our favorite Democrat, because he's the big Connecticut Democrat opposed to tolls. What a great way that is to introduce you every week. How are you, Frank?
Isn't that, that is wonderful. Thank you very much for that.
So did you hear what the governor, no, not the governor, what Senator Looney said about changing the approach on tolls?
I am afraid I missed that one, but
oh,
I'm
good.
Afraid what I'm
okay.
about to hear.
Let us talk to you about it, because he was on the morning show this morning and laid out a different course of action.
Well, I think there has to be some more discussion and dialogue. The governor will be the one convening the special session on transportation. Many of us believe that there is a compromise path that would involve some tolling, but also some additional bonding. We think that the governor's original proposal of tolls on trucks is one that should be considered, and
sure.
Also looking at tolls on bridges, especially those that that do need reconstruction. And
so there's a new approach, a backing off of doing tolls on everybody.
You know, I got to tell you, I'm a little concerned. The governor comes out on election and says he wants truck tolls. And then the catastrophe strikes in February, and magically we can't just have that anymore. We have to have 70 toll gantries, and then it was 50. And the Republican plan, which I've got my problems with, but it doesn't matter, was a financial disaster. We're leaving money on the table. And I understand from that Senator Looney is suggesting that perhaps if we take a little from column A, a little column B, and a little column C, that everything will be okay? Is that...
Well, he's sort of suggesting that. He's also suggesting that the governor was right all the time during the campaign, and he never should have been lying to us and doing a flip-flop into tolls for everybody. And
you know, there's been a lot of very candid conversations from Democrats in and around the legislature who have said point blank that many legislators don't want to vote for tolls because they don't want to lose the majority in 2020. So I don't understand what the drive is. I mean, I think the people have spoken pretty loudly and clearly. I'm not, I don't remember seeing the Yes Tolls rally, and I don't remember people sitting and lining up and stopping their cars at exit 17 on 95 to throw some money out the window. This is all but settled, and coming after this again and again is just wasting their time and our time, and I'm irritated.
We're talking to Frank Farriker. He used to be the head of the State Lottery Commission. He used to be the head of the Democratic Town Committee in Greenwich. And he's a Democrat who's opposed to tolls. Now, this does seem strange that they keep pushing for it. So what could the reason be? Why would they still be pushing? And why did, you know, I played some sound earlier of Ned back in August last year saying, well, nobody seems to want tolls. The Democrats don't want to do them. The Republicans are against them. But I'm going to be behind them all the way. And why?
The only reason I can see is that they're just trying to double down on the same stuff that isn't working for them. And a batch of toll revenue seems to be the only thing that is holding all the glue together. Everything that you heard from Senator Looney there was all about more revenue, more money, more cash. That's what he was talking about. And they're not talking about the bigger picture of how they're going to help the state, how tolls are going to keep small businesses down. I could go on my rant forever, but they seem to be streaking out into this netherworld of a combination of politics and cash generation. And I just don't understand at this point why they keep on beating the dead horse.
Well, they do need the cash, not for infrastructure, but for debt. And so they don't want to cut any spending. And is that the doubling down on the stuff that's not working for them that you were referring to?
Yeah, I mean, I want to hear a new idea from them. Like, for example, I heard a great idea the other day. What if we made our innerest of inner cities tax-free zones? What if we set up and tried to drive some business into the places where we seem to be spending the lion's share of the money, where the lion's share of this toll revenue is supposed to come out. Why don't somebody come out with a new idea that's going to...
All right, hold on a second, Frank, because I want you to explain those ideas a little bit, because if there's a good new idea, yeah, I'd love to hear it, but I need more explanation on those. Frank Farriker is with us. We're going to get quick traffic and weather together on the 8s and then wrap up our conversation with him. Then we can take some calls, 860-522-9842. All right, so, Frank, those good ideas.
Yep.
Go ahead,
yep.
Sir.
I would defy anybody to tell me what business is going to decide they're going to relocate themselves into the heart of Hartford or the heart of Bridgeport or the heart of Waterbury. Everything that seems to be going on in those communities are just seems to be pushing things farther down. Tolls would just burden folks like that. So why don't we do something positive? Why don't we offer businesses a tax-free zone right in the middle of those areas where nobody's opening up a business anyway? Sort of excite people, generate people to come into those areas, hire those people who were paying for social services and were paying all the various costs that the state picked up. Why don't we just try something new and exciting?
But, and this idea would be that real estate taxes they wouldn't pay? Property
Either
taxes?
Real estate taxes or payroll taxes or some benefit, some tangible benefit that's going to cause a company not to move to Westport or Farmington, but they're going to move to the places where we need businesses to go the most.
But why would you, if you keep winning elections, doing things that are horrible for people, why would you change? And what you're proposing, so they've got a beautiful formula in urban America. I mean, that's the Democratic Party exists for two reasons. One is the partnership with the unions, and the other is the super service of urban voters. And the super service of urban voters isn't to give them a good life. It's to pay them to live there.
But that's not even the part that, I mean, I don't agree with that at all. But what I do know is that in Connecticut, we spend an incredible amounts of money. I think we spend something like $20,000 a student out of the state coffers to send to Bridgeport to educate kids. Because what's weird in Connecticut, where towns like Greenwich have a mill rate of 10, because those towns don't have to pay the social services. Those towns don't have to pay for the costs of the lower class. And you know, the mill rate in Waterbury is, what, 70? So a $100,000 house, we're literally driving even the poor people out of our cities. You know, if taken as true what you say, oh, the Democratic Party relies on paying off urban voters, which I don't think is true in the slightest, but even if that were the case, we are going to run out of voters soon enough if we don't do something to stimulate the cities in Connecticut. And throwing money at it is the worst thing to do in this case now. We're at the end of the line. So if we're just throwing money at Bridgeport, all we're going to do is need more money to throw even more cash out of it.
Yeah, which is how the party's been operating for a long time. They keep coming back for more. There's never a budget cut. It's always a budget increase. And there's never a solution that deals with looking at a department or a thing or a program or whatever it is that says, let's cut that because that's not working anymore.
Right. The generalized Republican idea of we're just going to cut this and that, and I never really hear what they're actually going to cut, that doesn't work either. I think you've just got to find a different way.
Well, it would if people told the truth that the government has become ginormous. Because if
true.
All you do is keep expanding programs and never cut anything and keep going back for higher taxes all the time, then obviously nothing's going to stay the same. Nothing's going to get smaller. That only leaves growth. And
right. But in Connecticut, structurally, the Republicans and the Democrats' plans and the way that the parties are constructed probably isn't going to hold up, in my view, in the next bunch of years. And things are going to be chaotic. If you know and I know that if we don't do something different,
mm-hmm.
we're doomed.
Well, don't you think there's an inertia issue here that those in charge have found a formula, and when they go through an election they expect to lose, like the one last November, and they say, whoa, not only do we not lose, we got more powerful. they're saying everything we do just got endorsed. Let's keep doing it. Let's pass tolls. Let's pass a big sales tax increase. Let's really kick them when they're down.
Right, but I would posit to you that the Republicans under the Mr. Stefanowski didn't offer anything new at all. They offer, to me, the same old tropes that...
The same old tropes that are saying we would actually cut spending and cut taxes, those are better tropes than we will increase spending and increase taxes. And it's real. I don't want to slip into that left-right dynamic because I'm not thrilled with Republicans, and Democrats are in charge. So, so I'm wondering why you think, as a Democrat, that Democrats behave the way they do.
Well, clearly, in that case, when you had one set of bad ideas campaigning, the set of ideas that was in power already seemed to be more attractive to people. I'm not endorsing either one of them. I didn't think that this past election in Connecticut made anybody look good.
Yeah. I'm just trying to work through your idea here, because your proposal is, why aren't Democrats doing something different? They've got the power to do it. How about a tiny bit of imagination? And
it seems like
all of their imagination is used on new ways to change
the same old thing.
Yes, and the same old thing is, oh, let's go to the suburbs, and we're going to have a debt diet, and the effect of the debt diet will be no money for suburban school projects, but urban school projects get money. And go ahead.
But meanwhile, down here in Greenwich, we've got plenty of money to take care of whatever we do, and the idea being that if we just send our taxes up to Hartford and shut up, that's fine. That's our compact. And that other towns have that too. And it's just not, to me, it's just not sustainable. We are just not sustainable. I don't know what the solution to the pension problem is. I mean, I don't know the practical solution to the pension problem is, but I haven't heard anybody throw out anything and say, this is how we're going to pay the people we promised to pay, keep our expenses where we need to keep them.
Well, because there is no answer to do that that's politically viable.
Correct.
Right, you can't go through an election saying we're going to go to our friends, the unions, and tell them the jig is up. You know, how do you get elected doing that?
I don't know if I hoped for more, but I remember hearing the governor say on a regular basis, or hint on a regular basis, that he was just going to be a one-term guy who was going to make the hard choices.
Well, apparently he was being clairvoyant. I don't know if he's going to last a term, Frank.
I don't know. But like I said, we just have to do something different.
Good to talk with you. It's always good to talk with you. Frank Farrakhan, thank you, sir.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Frank is a Democrat against tolls. How about that?